find in front of you in the pew an authorized version, the King James Version of the Bible. Pick it up. We're going to read from the second chapter of the second book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 10. We read together, taking your time from me. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to bring it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I have drawn him out of the water." God shall put his own seal of approval upon this reading from his very own infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. The second chapter of the book of Exodus, and at the verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. The rules for child minders. Without controversy, the greatest man on earth in the period between Adam and our Lord Jesus Christ is Moses. He is one of the few Bible personalities whose life is narrated from his birth to his burial. He stands first amongst all the Old Testament characters in the Scripture and far outstrips them all. He was the mediator between the nation of Israel and God. He was the first prophet and the first priest and the first prince of that nation. He was born in prison bondage, but he was brought up in palace blessings. He was a nobody that became somebody. He was both the shepherd and the sovereign of his people. He was the meekest man, we are told, in all the earth. But he was also the mightiest. He had all the riches of Egypt at his disposal, but he refused them all and exchanged them for the ridicule of this world. He died alone in Moab, but he appeared in the New Testament very much alive in the company of Elijah and our Lord in the Mount of our Lord's Transfiguration. He was the only man for whom the Lord dug his grave. He seems to be the first man in Scripture that God raised from the dead. He was the giver of the law, but the forerunner of grace. His mother was a God-taught woman. She knew about Noah. She knew how Noah escaped the flood. She wondered how her son, who was condemned to die by wicked Pharaoh, could escape perishing in the River Nile. And she thought of the same in replica as Noah built his ark. She built a little ark of bulrushes. And as Noah pitched his ark within and without, so she pitched the little ark within and without with pitch. And she left the ark and its precious treasure, the boy Moses, in the ark, down at the flags where the River Nile was flowing. She did this not because Moses was a beautiful child, that he was. She didn't do it because her love drove her to do it. The Bible tells us that she was actuated by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Faith cometh, the scripture tells me, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God must have communicated with Moses' mother and father. Hence the guidance for the salvation of Moses' life. Little did they think how great this little babe was going to be. We have here a wonderful picture of the salvation of the human soul. The river was the place of appointed death. All men and women who have sinned are appointed to die. Moses was brought to the place of death. But that place of death was transformed to life. It was Mr. A.W. Pink, the great expositor of God's word, who says, though Moses was brought to the place of death, he was secured in the very place of death to live. This speaks to us of Christ, who went down into death for us, but on the third day rose triumphant from the grave. The righteousness of God made imperative that the payment of sin's awful wages must all be paid. And so the spotless Son of God died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Thus in Christ our substitute, we too have been in the place of death, as the infant Moses was. But note that it was faith which placed him there. It is pure faith that identifies the sinner with the death of Christ. And it is simple faith that makes the sinner to rise with Christ in resurrection power. In the merciful provision which the providence of God arranged for the infant Moses, we have illustrated the tender care of God for those whom he draws to himself. Every babe in God's family will be brought to know Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. And then, of course, if you go on to study the history of Moses, you can see there a type of the history of the saints. The one who was cast out into the river became the prince of the royal house. It is significant to note that the Hebrew word that is used for Moses being laid in the place of death only occurs once in the whole of the Bible, because it's a once and for all experience that brings eternal life to the human heart and soul. Moses was discovered in the ark by Pharaoh's daughter. Her father, Pharaoh, had decreed that every man-child must die and drown in the river. How mysterious are the ways of a wonder-working God. And we read in Exodus chapter 2:9, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it." 5 in the Bible is the number of divine grace. And there are 5 things that are mentioned here concerning the upbringing of Moses, his safe upbringing. First of all, we have the recommittal of the child. Pharaoh's daughter said, "Take the child." She was, of course, entirely unaware that she was addressing the sister of Moses, and unaware that the mother whom she summons to take the child and to bring it up was none else than Moses' mother. Here, of course, we have in type the new birth takes place when a person closes with Christ freely offered in the gospel. The giving away to God's will, this child, was a wonderful thing. Jochebed, his mother, had him only for 3 months. Then she had to give him up to the little ark. But God ordained that he should live. And now the all-merciful, wonder-working God arranged him to be brought up by his mother. But to receive wages, this is the first time we ever read in history of the family allowance. This lady got the family allowance for the first time. She was given by the state the money to bring up her own child. In the book of Jude, we read about the preservation of the saints. Saints of God are preserved even before they're born again. They're preserved for the day that they will be born again. Preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell. And there I would have gone, but thou hast done all things well. Thy love was great, thy grace was free, which from hell's pit delivered me. Look at the miracle of God's perseverance and preservation of Moses when he was laid a helpless babe in that ark of bull worship, a prey on the floodwaters of the river Nile. Though he became to be trained in all the learning of Egypt and was mighty in words and in deeds, yet it was his mother's upbringing that prevailed more as far as his soul was seen. Because he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he made a remarkable choice. What was his choice? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So the child was recommitted to its mother. Take the child. There was not only the recommittal of the child, there was a replacing of the child. Take the child away. If Moses' daughter had not said that, Moses would have been brought up in the palace with all the evil influences of that palace of Egypt surrounding him. His environment would have been against the true God of Israel and against the word of that God. But God ordained the child should be taken away. What is more, he was to be joined with his brother Aaron for company. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. You'll not know that except you read the Bible. I was struck some years ago when I was reading the Bible, and I found in 1 Samuel chapter 2:27 and 1 Kings chapter 2:27, I discovered that Aaron was with Moses in the house of Pharaoh, because the prophet who spoke in those two verses said, when their fathers were with one another in the house of Pharaoh. The Bible records that. It's very important. Because Aaron was going to become the first chief priest of the people of Israel. And God saw to it that Moses had his mother's company during his tender years and his brother's company when he proceeded to grow up until he was 40 years old. But we not only see the recommittal of the child and the replacing of the child, but we see the reorganization of the child's life. The mother was to nurse it. Nursed by his own mother. But legally, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, by royal decree, Moses' life was reorganized in a wonderful fashion. He had the education of Egypt, but he had something far more valuable. He had the edification of the true religion of his father and mother, and his sister Miriam, who became a prophetess. This led him to make a choice, to prefer the hardship to happiness, the shame to sin, the reproach to royalty, pains to pleasures, and rejection to riches. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. To quote A.W. Pink again, the place Moses volunteered to occupy was a hard one. In every respect, the very opposite of that in which he had been reared. Yet Moses did not repine or murmur. So far from being dissatisfied with his bargain, he valued the reproach which it brought him. So far from complaining at the affliction, he prized it. He not only endured suffering, but he esteemed it as of more worth than the wealth of the whole Egyptian family. In this he puts Christians of our day and generation to shame. But we not only have the reorganization of the child, we have the re-ownership of the child. Notice what the daughter of Pharaoh said, "Nurse him for me." Moses had changed ownership. He was no longer his mother's. He was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter, although she claimed him. He was God's man, to bring God's message and to fulfill God's mission. His real fidelity was soon manifested. Returning to the narrative we read, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out into his brethren and looked on their burden, and he espied an Egyptian smiting one of the Hebrews, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. One of the features of Scripture is its absolute fidelity to tell the whole truth about those personalities that step out in its pages. Nothing is covered up. The character of Moses is exposed. His goodness is recorded, but also his badness is recorded. 40 years old, and he became a murderer in order to defend one of his brethren. But he had to go to the backside of the wilderness for another 40 years to learn that God had a way to deliver people from the power of sin. And it was not by the force of the arm of man, but by the strength of the great arm of Christ's redemption. Finally, we find something more. We find the naming of Moses. I never noticed this before until this morning as I was rereading this passage. This man, Moses, was brought up by his mother. And then when he was able to do without the nurse, he was delivered to the palace. But we never read in Scripture the name that his mother called him. Strange, isn't it? She must have called him something. I said that to my wife this morning, and she said, well, you can make sure she didn't say something when she called him. No. We don't know what Moses was called, but we know what Pharaoh's daughter called him. She said to him, she called him Moses because I drew him out of the water. And what Pharaoh's daughter called him, God imprinted in the book, the Bible, but he also imprinted it in heaven. For today, those saints who have arrived at the beautiful city of God, they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. And that name that he was called, drawn out of the water, gets the same place and standing as the precious name of Jesus. The children of God are under new ownership and authority. He had a hard life at Moses. He was the most criticized leader that the Church of Jesus Christ ever had. You'll not find anywhere in the Bible where the children of Israel murmured against Joshua. But you'll find on 10 occasions there was serious rebellion against the rulership and leadership of Moses. It's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. It's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles, and many are the dangers we meet. But Jesus guards and keeps so that nothing can harm us and smooth the rugged path for our feet. Though we are often footsore and weary from travel, though we are often bowed down with care, a better day is coming when home in the glory will rest in perfect peace over there. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks beside me and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load. My friend, if you're a Christian, stick to the way of the cross, for it leads home. If you're not a Christian, go to the cross today. Wash your robe in the blood of redemption. Start for heaven and hope. Be in time, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Let us pray. O God, our Father, write thy word upon our hearts, and grant that all of us may be like Moses, born of the Spirit and washed in the Redeemer's blood. For Jesus' sake, amen and amen.